Yes, and people generally leave leave bad reviews instead of good reviews, right?
Like you're not totally exactly. Yeah. You're going to be more apt to have a bad review. And I'll give you a non-snobby example because I don't want to just be a snob.
Right.
But it works the other way too, where you let's say there's Bubba Gump's Shrimp Company, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, of course, I'm not going to go to Bubba Gump's Shrimp Company. I have been there twice. Wouldn't do it again.
Okay. Yeah.
But I'm guaranteeing you those reviews are going to be awful. And it's because people like, well, of course it's going to be awful. Like, why are you leaving that review?
What did you expect?
What did you expect when you walked into Bubba Gump Shrimp?
Right. Wait, how is this going
what
the other
bar
way?
Were you trying
how,
to?
How is this you not being snotty and it going the other way?
Well, my okay, I am still being snobby, I suppose, but. If I were to go to Bubba Gump Shrimp Company, I probably wouldn't leave a review. And if I did, maybe it would be that I was pleasantly surprised because there's no reason for me to leave a negative review of Bubba Gump Shrimp Company.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So maybe some will slip by the radar because they are so bad and they're expected to be bad that nobody says, oh, yeah, they're bad.
And by the way, I have to give a shout out to my friend Colin, Colin McCoy, who got into a flame war on Yelp with Bubba Gump Shrimp Company.
Oh, my God. That's epic. Oh.
So he left this nuclear review. He's a brilliant writer, by the way. So he left this like well thought out nuclear review of Bubba Gump Shrimp Company in Santa Monica and was contacted within like 2 days by Bubba Gump Shrimp Company.
Wow.
And, like, please take this down. Yada, yada, yada. Went back and forth. It was wild.
They asked him to take it down. Who does that? Just defend yourself. Get in there. Oh, please link that to us so I could send it on the socials.
Yeah, that's this hilarious. Is a number of years ago. I'll see if I can find it.
Okay, you got to find it. You got to find it. Okay.
That is brilliant.
Welcome back to the Sucks Podcast. I'm your host, Brad.
And I am Dave.
And with us, as always, producer Joe.
I am not the producer.
Oh, man. Okay, well, I have nothing to add to that today other than my sheer disappointment at your complete lack of taking on the mantle of being producer after 421 episodes. Oh, boy.
I thought we were going to kill that bit, Brad.
I thought he's not the producer. I thought that it was done because he's the producer now.
He did some producing this week. He did. Yeah. He did something with the script.
Oh, I was happy to kill it. I was just going to say, hey.
He came up with a title for today's thing. He didn't do some of the research I asked, but he's getting there. Baby steps. Right, Joe? Maybe we should pay him. We should pay him.
No. I mean, we do pay him a, you know,
pay him in burritos.
We pay him 33% of all of our ad revenue. That's true.
That's true.
That's true. That is true.
This is, of course, a podcast where we talk about design, intentional and otherwise, and all the ways that UX,
user experience design,
impact us every day. We are lovers, not experts, although we are becoming more experts week by week, right?
Yes, sir. And more lovers, more lovingly lovers. Yeah.
We are becoming closer to lovers every week.
Gentler lovers.
Sure.
We started this podcast as a way to talk about why things were made the way they are and where those design decisions might have gone off the rails. Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good.
Yeah.
This is the content that people tune in week after week after week to hear, especially all those Twitter bot followers.
You know,
last week we gave some exclusive content for our Twitter bot followers. I think we're going to do it again this week because they had a hell of a reaction to it.
They loved it.
Our Twitter,
they loved it.
Dave, this is true. Our Twitter audience has grown by about 15% since we put in that content last week.
That is actually true.
That's literally true.
Without giving any numbers.
So once again, let's give some exclusive content to our Twitter bot listeners. Here you go, guys. There you go. There you go. Tell all your friends, Twitter bots.
I love it. Anyway, where are we?
I don't know. I'm feeling a little bit better this week. Last week for our listeners, might be aware that I was quite ill last week. I'm mostly better now. Still a little congested.
You sound better. So
yeah.
Hey, Brad, did you hear that? No one asked this week.
No, I noticed.
But we always are thinking of you, Brad. We are. We just forget to mention it.
I'm aware that no one asked, but I wanted to put it in there anyway.
Well, good, man. Good to have you back in 90, 95%.
I'd say 90. Right. 85, 90.
Okay.
But last week it was 50%. So that's
yeah. Hey, you did good though. Increase. You did good.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Last week was a fun episode. For listeners who didn't listen to it, check out the Defining UX episode with Lucinda Brown from last week.
And don't forget to rate and review 5 stars if you're feeling it.
Please.
4 stars if you're,
Nope. 4 stars, not okay.
No?
Yeah.
What if they really mean it, Brad?
Well, if like, you give us a 4-star rating, we know that you actively contributed to Pizzagate. do you guys want to get into news today?
I don't know, Brad. What do you think, Joe?
Do we have anything to talk about?
Well, the only thing I have to talk about is my ongoing iPhone saga this week. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Well, this is going to be a short episode, Brad, so can you keep it short?
I'll keep it short because, you know, this is going to be ongoing. But here's what happened, just in terms of news.
I got to run the thing. Brad, tell us about your iPhone.
Okay, so this week I got my iPhone in the mail. Let's see. I tried to move over to T-Mobile. And why did I choose T-Mobile? Because screw Verizon and AT&T. I just have a problem with those guys. So I thought T-Mobile might be better. Spoiler alert, not. Not
that. Save it. Save it for the episode.
Google drama trying to get my phone repaired, which I think I might have talked about last week a little bit. Yep. I tried to set up my iPhone. There's an app that iPhone created to migrate Android users to iOS that failed. So I didn't have to start from scratch. So that was a poor experience. And then, look, I've been using this thing for about 4 days now. In as few words as possible. It's a phone, guys. It works pretty well. You know, I like the build. I like some of it. Some of it I don't like. I have serious questions on some of the actual UX of using the thing compared to Android. I do feel like Android is superior from a UX perspective, but it's only been 4 days.
That's so I'm going to reserve
final judgment until I have a better grasp because some of this might just be me learning how to use stuff.
Okay. So Brad, can I make a proposal?
Of course.
Okay. If that thought continues, right? If that feeling continues that you're having, that you think Google is a little bit more superior in that user experience, can we come back and do a more granular definition of user experience like I wanted rather than the big Don Norman, you know, includes marketing and all this other stuff? Can we focus on just how the experiences of using the apps and
maybe like one-to-one, you know, compare and contrast between.
Right. And we'll get somebody who loves Android. I think that's necessary. Okay, good.
Fair enough.
All right. Okay, cool. Is that it for the iPhone news today, Brad?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And I wonder, does anybody care about this? Because people have made the switch before. Do they make a whole like podcast about it or a segment? Like, is this just amusing to us? That's what I want to know. So
if it's amusing to us, that's all that
matters. So Twitter bots, say yes and reply and, retweet.
David.
Hey, Brad.
How's the cooking situation in your house?
What cooking situation, Brad?
You guys cooking? You eating good, healthy food?
Oh, yeah. I don't cook.
Well, you guys are busy people. I mean, I got to imagine it's probably pretty difficult for you guys to prepare all these fresh meals.
It's
all
tough.
The time.
It's tough, Brad. Sometimes we don't eat till 8 o'clock at night.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's a problem. Have you ever heard of Blue Apron?
Hey, sorry to interrupt our fake ad read. I thought it was going great. But if you're a real sponsor and like what you hear and want to contact our ad sales department, or if you're just a fan, visit ourpodsucks.com. That's ourpodsux.com to find out more. And by our ad sales department, I of course mean producer Joe. Ourpodsucks.com. Now back to the fake ad read currently in progress.
What to do, Brad?
Inside Everyone is an incredible cook. All you need is a little bit of guidance and a little bit of help.
Like I've swallowed this person and he's been living there and we were going to extract him.
Exactly. That's the service that Blue Apron offers. They will extract the little professional chef in all of us and bring it to life so you can have farm fresh ingredients.
He probably smells. We probably got to give him a bath. You know what I mean? Because he's probably somewhere in my lower intestine at this point. I love it.
Inside Everyone is a little tiny professional chef that lives in your bowels.
And I feel like his name is Francois.
I was going to say Pepe.
Pepe works. I like Pepe. Pepe Le Pew. Oh,
that's the service that Blue Apron offers. Not only does it extract your inner personal chef, but it also delivers farm fresh ingredients, exciting recipes, step by step. And these are recipes that can be accomplished in under 45 minutes, maybe even less. For example, I used BlueRibbon.com in the past. Oh. I made a chicken mole from scratch. And I followed the instructions. Took about 45 minutes. And guess what? Now I just know how to make mole. Mole is a complicated recipe.
I love mole. That's good stuff.
Incredible. Yeah. So once you know how to make it, Blue Apron gave me the tools to learn how to make mole. And now I just know how to make it.
You're getting more than just that particular meal. You're getting it. You're getting an education, Brad.
I'm getting skills. You're getting
skills to pay the bills. That's right. No Blue Aprons. No aprons. They don't give you an apron. It's
unclear. I will have to check the website, or better yet, I suggest that you visit blueapron.com. Check it out yourself.
I will.
And while you're there, I would use the promo code SUCKS for up to, but probably not, 14 free meals.
Yeah, I'm on there now. That didn't work. Do you have another one?
Another code?
Yeah, because is it all caps?
That must be it. So use the promo code SUCKS for up to 14 free meals at blueapron.com. BlueApron.com.
That didn't work either. I just did it all caps. Is there like a 1, 2, 3 or?
You know what? I'll call the Blue Apron CEO. Okay. All right. We'll deal with this directly.
Yeah.
Blue Apron, a better way to cook. And we are back. Man, this app reads getting crazier and crazier.
That was pretty
weird cast of characters who joined us.
It was kooky. It was kooky. Kooky characters. Yeah.
All right. Let's jump into today's main topic.
Yes,
we are doing a punch list. This is going to be a quick, down and dirty list of all the things that kind of like just rub us the wrong way. These are small, annoying design flaws that maybe could be easily reimagined for a better user experience. So this is a list of many things that just drive us up the wall. Is that about right, guys? Is that what we had in mind?
Right. I think so.
Okay. Let's be honest, guys. I just want a f-ing week off from editing. Yeah. Let's just take it. I just want a short episode because, like, this is exhausting. I want to say to the users, if you love this and you're keeping up and you're listening to an hour of us a week, then let us know and we'll keep doing it. But it's a lot of work. I don't know. We should do a whole episode on the user experience of podcasting as a podcaster and get another podcaster on. We'll have a little crossover
episode.
Yeah, a little crossover episode. But
maybe we can like crossover with Serial. Serial podcast.
Introduce
a little murder mystery into this.
Right.
No spoilers. Well, I mean, which one of us is going to be murdered
after you murdered Micah last week? I think that's probably a good one. And by the way, I don't know if you saw the socials. Micah has been alerted to that episode. No,
wish that you had edited that out. But so now I have to take care of Micah. I mean, not take care of Micah.
Oh, see, not just a dream.
Maybe it's for the best. I really do miss Micah, so maybe I will use this as an opportunity to sit down and have coffee with him and apologize for murdering him in a dream. Jesus.
All right.
I should get final cut on these episodes is what I'm saying.
Sometimes it's the middle of the night, Brad, because we talk so much and go on so long that you don't have the opportunity. So,
speaking of going on so long, you wanted a break for yourself this weekend. I can already tell you we're half an hour.
We are. So why don't we go into the theme song? Because I think the punch list gets a theme.
Hit the theme.
Yo, put them on the punch list.
Okay. All right. So how are we going to start this, Brad? This is a totally new format and I like it. I'm excited about it. I think it's, and just to give it like a real introduction, I said, I just want a week off. That's not true. Every single day, there's something that annoys me. I don't know about you guys, but I'm probably the most annoyable among us. And I have a mental list of all these things that drive me crazy. And that's kind of what started this podcast, when I found out Brad, when I got into his career and then what I was looking to do, they kind of aligned. I've known him for years.
That's something we should talk about too. The three of us have known each other for how old am I? 22 years. God.
Yeah.
More than 22 years.
Right. We've
known each other for 23, 24 years.
Yeah.
And Dave, you have never once caught up with my career, kept up with my career. Like, so 6 months ago, like, what? You do what?
That's true. So it's true, Brad.
All right. So how we got to do this, Dave, is because you have a big list. This is apropos. Yeah. You have a list that's longer than ours. Yeah. So yes. We're going to have to make this rapid fire, right? So why don't we just go down it?
Why?
We'll
see how it goes. This is new. I'm excited because it's a new format. And I don't think I have to go through. Why don't we go one for one? I'll do one thing on my list. You do one on yours.
Well, I only have like four things on my list. And you
can then maybe we'll go four rounds.
Okay.
All right. Let's start. I'm gonna jump around. I'm not going to go right at the top of the list. Let's talk about one that drives me nuts. And I think I put this in the social, so some people will be familiar with it. Whipped cream lids. Okay. My entire life. Now I'm going to visualize this for folks the spray cans, not spray, the aerosol ones, right?
Yes.
Okay.
The little tilt nozzle.
Yes. They have, you know, the ones the kids get, you know, high with, you're not supposed to do it. Don't do it, kids. Don't do drugs. Say no. Okay. So the little red caps, right? Even the fake brands do this, right? Mm-hmm. It's like they want to copy bad design. There's a little pull plastic mm-hmm. piece at the bottom. Right. You pull that off. Cool. And the second you do that, you have completely obliterated the concept of a cap. It no longer fits on perfectly. Mm. It kind of just sits there. So mm-hmm. what is the point? So you wind up either taking it off and throwing it out or putting it on there and frustrated that it keeps falling off every time you open up the damn fridge. Why can't they make a cap that comes on and off? I don't understand this. Mm. Anybody have this problem? You know what I'm talking about?
Mm. You got anything, Joe?
I don't think I've ever really...
This isn't fun. You guys are like, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. That sucks, Dave.
No, because I really don't.
You don't do a lot of whipped cream,
Joe? I don't buy whipped cream.
I don't use a lot of whipped cream, number one.
Guys.
My caps have already clicked back on.
They don't. You're a liar. You just have a bad memory. None of them clip on. I've tried all of them.
Hang on a second. I'm going to do a whip it right now, and then I'll see if
All right. So I want our users to go and buy a can of whipped cream and just share my pain and put it in, you know, tweet at us. But yeah, it's terrible. That's all I got. It's terrible. I hate it. It bothers me. That's it.
All right. Well, I've got one. And we were talking about burritos earlier. Hopefully none of that stays in because it was pretty gross. But I did want to talk about Chipotle as something that kind of drives me nuts. Number one, their burrito girthiness is not right. They're too like,
yes,
like soup can, you know, they're too squat. I'm making a lot of like Indian go here. Hopefully we don't use that. But hopefully our users know what I'm talking about. They're always the same size and I don't like it. And I love burritos, but they're too squat. They're not like, you know, they're not the right size. And
that's what I'm saying.
So I agree on Chipotle. And then the other thing that I wanted to complain about is that every Chipotle burrito tastes exactly the same, regardless of what you put in it. And that's strange.
That's interesting. That is strange.
That's just fast food in general, though, right? That's what their whole model is. It's supposed to be consistent no matter where you go. That's by design.
No. I mean,
Brad's like saying,
Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah. Brad's saying whatever you put in it. I think it's just because there's so much salt in it, it just overrides it. So you can't even taste if it's pork or chicken. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
Yes, you're right. Matter. I always ask my wife, I always go, wait a minute, I think I have yours because she usually gets steak. I can't really handle steak. So I have chicken and I'm like, this tastes like steak. You're right. Oh my God. I never thought about it.
Every burrito tastes the same. You can have a vegetarian burrito. You can have a steak burrito, a barbacoa burrito. Those are a little spicier, but that's the only difference, really.
Brad, I think what you're saying is, and only 1% of our audience will get this joke, but Chipotle is people.
That would make some sense.
That might be true. That might be true.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, to our listeners who are users who eat at Chipotle, which maybe you shouldn't do, I challenge you to like try and create a burrito at Chipotle that tastes any different than any other burrito. I do this all the time. Like sometimes I'll go like, no rice. Maybe it's the rice that's doing it. Or no beans. Maybe it's the beans that are doing it. And like, you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It all tastes exactly the same.
Yeah.
Very true. Right. Very interesting.
Okay. That's what I got.
Okay, well, this just happened to me this week, so I was able to put it on the list, and this may just be a sample size of one. I was on hold, and I got that option, we'll call you back when we get to your position in the queue. So I was like, sure, and I punch in my number and hit yes and hang up. 20, 30 minutes go by, reasonable, but when it picks back up, it puts me on hold again for like another 10 minutes. Oh. And then the phone rings and then it rings and rings like 8 times before somebody actually picks up. I'm like, if you're going to call me back when it's my turn, call me back when you're ready to talk to me.
Hey, you're an Apple user, right, Joe? You know what I tell you? Google Pixel has this feature where they'll stay on hold for you. and then they'll ring you when somebody picks up. It's part of their AI. Yeah, it's good stuff. Doesn't always work great. Depends on what's going on the other side, like how it.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
So.
But it should work. If they're going to call me back, they should call me back when they're ready to pick up the phone.
Indeed.
Do you want to let us know what company did this awful thing to you?
No.
All right, fair enough. We'll leave it at that.
Back to me. Okay. I like this. I like this. This is going fast, guys. All right. And again, we're taking a broad user experience definition, folks, for those in the industry going, no UX. Yes, it is. All right. So
yes, it is.
Let's okay. Hoses. And this is shout out to my neighbor. I was telling him about the show and he came up with this one. I agreed instantly. Mm-hmm. They don't work, right? They always crimple up. They always tie up, right?
You're talking about garden hoses.
Garden hoses.
Okay.
Yes. And then they have these ones that, you know, you buy late night, you know, mm-hmm. it's like QVC. It's like, hey, well, we got a solution to this problem. And it's mm-hmm. like those ones that grow, you know, it's like they're super tiny and they fall into place perfectly. And you're like, oh, wow. Sure. And I tried that and I was so happy for like, I don't know, like 3 days.
Right.
And it like left it out in the sun and it just shriveled up into an old man.
You know? It shriveled up like, you know, the old guy at the end of Indiana Jones in the last crusade.
Exactly.
You chose poorly with your hose.
Exactly. And here's my beef with this. And there's a lot of things that I complain about where I'm like, this is not new technology, right? This is not AR and you're still working on the glasses. This is something that's been around since, I don't know, the pharaohs, maybe. Probably not, but maybe. Right?
Probably like on the short list for humankind inventions, you know, first 20 maybe.
So it's like, Brad, why is there no solution to garden hoses?
Okay, well, first, there is a solution, but your problems, I believe, are marketing driven.
Okay.
And, you know, those infomercials that you see about these shrinking, expanding fabric type hoses, they're brilliant. I mean, they make it seem so awesome. And to the point, they are awesome for approximately 3 to 5 days.
Right.
And it turns out having a fabric expanding hose that's supposed to, you know, contain water pressure is a bad idea. Fabric is not an appropriate material to accomplish.
So what's the solution, Brad? What's the solution?
Right.
Okay, I'll tell you. Stainless steel hoses. Stainless steel hoses are a thing.
Okay.
They're not marketed. And you know why they're not marketed? Because if you buy one, it's going to last you for your lifetime or for maybe 10 years.
What is the name for that?
What's that?
Like things that break. They build that in for
planned obsolescence.
Yes. Yes. I knew you'd know it.
Sorry to step on your next topic. But yeah.
Okay.
So stainless steel hoses work. They work great.
Okay.
So go on Amazon, look for stainless steel hoses.
Okay. All right. All right.
Well, you know what? I'm just jealous that you guys have hoses. I really.
Oh, I don't.
I'm in an apartment. It's like, I want to be able to hose off my porch.
It's been broken for 6 months. I don't have a hose, Joe. But I will today, right after this podcast.
Yeah. Look up stainless steel hoses. That's really going to be the answer to all your problems. All right. Well, we were just talking about improv comedy. So I have improv comedy on my list. Ooh, improv comedy loves me.
Oh, me too.
I don't like improv comedy. And here's the thing. I know for a fact that we have many listeners who are big into improv comedy. Some are improv comedians we'll have on the show. But I don't care for the concept of improv comedy. And let me tell you why.
Okay.
Let me tell you why first. Most of it sucks. So most improv comedy that I have seen is like these groundlings class one improv shows where it's people who aren't quite good enough yet to pull it off.
Okay.
And it feels like a chore. Like, bad improv comedy is bad. It's really bad. And great improv comedy is, like, few and far between. So every, like, you know, Upright Citizens Brigade main cast, you know, you've got 500 little shows that are just not at all ready for
prime. Isn't that true of everything? I mean, anything, any performance, right? You go to you could see a bad band any day of the night. Joe, you've been in improv. What do you have to say about this?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say that I think improv is a good skill tool, you know, for actors, but you don't have to show it off to everybody all the time.
Exactly.
Now performing in front of people is a part of learning, but it's almost like you're forcing me to listen to you learn your first three chords of guitar over and over and over again.
Right. You got to learn this stuff out without an audience, right? Yeah. Don't make me part of your process to learning how to get into commercials.
Yes. Well, that's interesting that you say that, Brad, because the reason I thought of it and I brought it up to you guys and I regretted not doing it with you guys back in the day, we're going to plug a Dead Eyes podcast again. In the episode I'm listening to, Connor Ratcliffe, that's his name, right? Connor Ratcliffe.
Yes.
He was talking about being in improv. Right. And they talked about, like, one of his buddies was on and they were talking about the yes and. And that's what led to this. And I asked you guys about it. And I'm like, and I thought that sounds like a great tool now that I could apply to this podcast. And again, it would be study, not like, I'd be learning it on the air. it's a skill set I wish I had. I probably do it some. I mean, I like to be random and non sequitur guy a lot. So maybe I would just shit all over that concept, but it would be nice to have. I might start practicing it off air, to your point.
Off air. Yeah. Get good at it before you invite me to go see it. All right.
All right, Joe.
Sleep mode or the lack thereof. Between computers and gaming consoles and PCs versus Mac, there's like whenever you go to shut off your computer, there's always like lock, sleep, rest. Mm-hmm. And then like sometimes you come back and it doesn't want to wake up. I'm like, I don't know if you're off or if you're in sleep mode. I had something that was charging and then it just shut off, like my PS4. So nothing charged. Mm-hmm. Like, can we just have either things go into a rest mode or they go off? Like, I just don't understand why we have to have both.
Yeah.
Or many more options.
Well, there's a lot of options, like Windows. Like, I have to always get a definition of what hibernate means and what sleep means. Like, why are these two things here? Like,
right, exactly.
I just want there to be no power and I want it to come back on like there was power. Like, that's all I want as a user. I don't need these different degrees of like, do you want REM sleep? Do you not want REM sleep? there you go. Just close your eyes, god damn it.
That's exactly what I'm getting at. Thank you.
My Mac, for some reason, has some sleep mode where if it's not plugged into power, it'll still draw power and drain the battery. So it happened this morning where I texted you guys that I needed like 2 minutes for my MacBook to charge up before I could even get on. And I don't really understand that. I'm sure that's
I had a similar problem. Mm-hmm. I had a similar problem with the Surface Book. It just always gets hot and sometimes it's closed, which to me means you're fucking asleep. I physically put you to bed. You know, we took a Jersey drive. You're done. Mm-hmm. But it was hot. And then I opened it up and then the headphone didn't work. I had the same problem, Brad. Look at that. Yeah. Windows and Apple sharing a similar problem. Look at that.
Yeah, kumbaya. Yeah.
The scrub bar in YouTube and most video programs that you see online. Here's the problem, okay? You have this little line, and I have a picture up for the fellas to see, but you have the timeline, right? You have the little, all right? And then you have all the controls right underneath it. Now, this is fine. No, it's not fine. What am I talking about? I was about to say it's fine wherever you are. Like if you're further off, you don't mix them up. But my problem is I'll go to hit the play or the pause or the skip or the volume, and I'll accidentally hit the actual scrub bar itself, and it skips me back to the beginning. And then, you know, of course, I land on a commercial again or something stupid, and it just gets even worse. But my problem is, why can't you separate these? Put them at the top, put them on the side, make it float up or in or something. But this whole idea, and don't even get me to the part about, I don't know if this is HBO or somebody does this thing where the screen will stay gray for a while when you're paused. I don't know, but that's a whole other thing. Cut that out. So that's it. Does anybody else have this problem with you're trying to use the controls at the bottom, but it's so close to the timeline or the scrub bar that you accidentally hit one or the other? Does this happen to you, Brad?
Brad? Not really. I do have another similar thing on YouTube that really bothers me, and that's the try YouTube premium constant ads. You guys get that?
Yeah.
These pop-ups. I mean, many times a day, try YouTube Premium, try 1 month of YouTube Music, try yada, yada, yada. Like, guys, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
You should know by now, I'm not doing it. Please stop bothering me.
So we were talking improv earlier and the yes and. I'm not feeling a lot of yes and from you guys. Like I'm saying these things are only problems that I have, apparently. I gotta think that you
do have unique problems. Like we know this about you.
Look at that picture. Right. That play button, look at how close that is, and look at the size of the hand compared to, like, if you're up at the top of that triangle, you're gonna hit that red bar. It happens to me all the time. Huh. Okay. Nobody does it.
You seem to have a problem with your aim, Dave, is your problem. Same thing with, like, the car
my
control
mom when I was a kid.
And toilets.
Yeah.
We could probably all agree, coming out of the pandemic, QR code menus. QR code menus.
Menus.
I believe that they suck. You know, so when you go to a restaurant, and now we don't have shared menus anymore, which I understand from, you know, germs and being in an endemic perspective. I get it. But I really dislike the QR code menus at restaurants.
Yes. Oh God, yes.
Yes.
Oh, I was just I like holding a menu. Yeah. This swipe over it and looking at it on your phone, and then somebody has a problem because they can't read it for some reason. And you're like, oh, my QR code reader's not working. And like, can I see your phone? And it almost deletes the purpose of it. Yeah.
Well, that's the other problem, is that the menus themselves, they're not being designed for the phone screen. So I think what they're doing is they're taking PDFs oftentimes. Taking PDFs of the print menu and then serving you up that PDF on your phone. Mm. That's a different experience. Like this is not designed for that. Most of these menus were designed to be held, and then they're just shrinking it down, which is it's poor experience.
So you think there's a better, you think this can work?
Well, some of them work better than others, but I don't like any of it. So the other alternative is that you design a menu for a phone screen, and then that has subcategories, and you know, you can like have pull downs for the, you know, appetizer, the drinks, or yada yada yada. I don't want any of that. That's too much work. I don't know. Just holding a paper menu was so much of a better experience than me having to navigate through my phone. And I'm a technology guy and I love my phone. I'm on it all day long. I just don't want to do that to find what
especially.
I'm
Especially when you've been drinking, it gets worse as the night goes on.
But also just being at a restaurant is supposed to be put the phone down time. Like I want to pick up a menu, be able to compare things like, oh, this looks good. Or, you know, and just be able to browse, not like drop down appetite and put it back up.
I didn't think about that, but you're absolutely right, Joe. Like I'm with friends at a place. I don't want to have to be staring at my screen for, 2 hours a day. Please just give me that. You know,
I think the answer is just don't use it. And I think because that's happened at our Panera. They used to have these kiosks. They still have them, but they tried to push them on us heavily, like have one person at the counter and then like three or four of these kiosks, and everybody walked right by them and the lines got long, and then they just whittled it down to one kiosk, right? Like, so I think if you just don't use them, they'll realize, okay, well, this was a good idea and it didn't work, or we thought it was a good idea and it didn't work.
Mm-hmm. And I do want to like conserve resources. I don't want there to have to be necessarily like this abundance of paper menus that are just disposable. And I also don't want to be sharing other people's menus. So I understand the problem, but it's the solution doesn't seem like it's quite there for me yet.
All right.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, I got you, Brad. So is that enough for this week, guys? Or do you want to do a couple more and see what the best ones are? That's work for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I got a lot.
Completely up to you guys.
You should. The sidewalks thing is so bizarre to me. All right.
On this one. One more, and then we'll call it a day. All right.
I want him to do the dishwasher one because I think that's so bizarre.
Okay, you guys, you got to come back for more. You want sidewalks or do you want dishwasher rack? Which one do you want?
Do sidewalks. Brad said it first.
Okay. All right. Two things here. Okay, it's a twofer. Streets without sidewalks, bad UX. Okay. Also, sidewalks in general, right? Because, look, originally, yes, concrete. It was idea.
Before you go on. So your problems are streets that don't have sidewalks. And then your other problem is sidewalks.
Yes.
Can't win with you, man. Cannot win with you.
Okay. But listen, hear me out. I think sidewalks were good for the time they were built in, right? But now we need a sidewalk upgrade. The material that sidewalks are made of, and there are places that have this. I mean, I think I saw it somewhere. I haven't done research for this episode, but I will, that are softer on the feet, right? That are better for your body. So here's where this comes from. I try to run. I know I was about to say I run a lot. That's a lie. I don't. I hate running. I like, you know, lifting weights. Running drives me crazy and my knees are going bad. Yeah. But, and to this point, you, as a runner, you know the degrees of, and Joe, you've done some running in your life, right? So yeah, you know, sure. Dirt and sand are good, right? Like natural stuff, right? Running in the dirt, like in the woods or whatever. That's the best. Mm-hmm. Then asphalt is okay. Second best. And then sidewalks only if you absolutely have to, because it's really bad for your body. Okay. So my suggestion is, you know, those things that kids parks is made of, that stuff, that kind of soft stuff.
Yeah, it's ground up tires. It's recycled rubber.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sure. I don't know if that's the answer, but let's make better sidewalks so I don't have to run and always get run over by a friggin' car every time I'm running around. And you know what I mean? That's all. Huh. Hey, so you agree with this? No sidewalks is bad, right? Because you see families walking with their kids in the middle of the street. It's like, this isn't good.
I don't.
How do you still not have sidewalks? Like
I don't see that except for anywhere like. You know,
oh, it's everywhere
in rural New Hampshire.
No, it's in suburban New Jersey. It's in suburban LA. It's everywhere. You mean no really? Sidewalks?
Yeah.
Not everywhere has sidewalk.
And then the
worst is when the sidewalk randomly vanishes, right? Like you'll mm-hmm. be walking down the sidewalk and then you pass a crosswalk like half a mile ago and you're like, oh shit, I guess I should have crossed over to that side because look, there's a sidewalk.
I have
seen that there.
In my neighborhood. You know, I have sidewalks in my neighborhood, concrete sidewalks, of course, and they work pretty well. But yeah, there isn't one random street where sometimes where the sidewalk just disappears.
Yeah.
It's where the sidewalk ends.
Yes, Brad. You start running, Brad, and you'll know what I'm talking about.
Well, I think we're not designed to run that way. I think that's a problem.
Run on sidewalks.
I don't think we're designed to run for exercise.
I beg to differ. We're designed to
run away from predators on the dirt.
Right. And you got to practice. You got to practice, Brad. You got to practice.
I don't know.
You never know when those
predators are. I'm wrong about this. People who run are healthier than I am. And I just think it's bullshit. All right, Dave, did you get that out of your system? You feel better?
No, there's more to come, Brad. There will be more episodes just like this.
Oh, gosh. That sounds like a threat to me, to our listeners.
Well, keep getting us guests, Brad, and I'll hold off on this.
I think that's the takeaway here is we need expert guests on this show. All right. And that is our episode. Thank you so much for listening to Sucks, especially to this episode today. We're wishing you health, a well-designed life, and good experiences.
Killing my bit about this little man, this little Lilliputian who's in my
you
small
said
intestine.
You got a man in your lower intestinal tract.
Yeah, because I ate him.
What am I supposed to do with that?
I'm Goliath, and I ate this little fucker because I thought it was food, and now he's in my gut. And you tell me he's a chef, and we're gonna bring him out. And now he's clean.
Absolutely, absolutely. Good. Keep all this in.